Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
So, as we said, we're in our Rooted in Worship series, and we're thinking about worshipping with joy, making a joyful noise. And Psalm 100 that we've been looking at already today is so helpful when we're thinking about joy. You know, the Psalms are Israel's praise and worship book. And if you know the book of Psalms, you'll know that every kind of part of life is included there. The joy and the lament and everything in between. And here in Psalm 100, we are finding ourselves in a psalm that is all about joy. That joy and worship go hand in hand. You know, right from the start in Psalm 100, you'll see that joy is the big theme. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Start and the end of those verses. Joy is so important. So, as we're thinking about how we worship with joy and what that might look like in our lives, it's good to think, well, what is joy? Let's define our term together, shall we? So as you're sitting watching this, here's a couple of questions for you on the screen. How would you define joy? What is joy to you? And where do you find joy in life? What things bring you joy? You know, and I was thinking about the things that bring me joy. It tends to be my wife Liz, my family at home, my children, my wider family and friends. I'm very much a people person, so I find a lot of joy in other people. I love sport, so I love cricket, I love football. But that's interesting, isn't it? Because sport and perhaps other interests you have like that, when they're going well, I'm full of joy. You know, if you're a cricket fan, you know the England cricket team are doing particularly well at the moment in test matches. It's been a month or so of joy for an England cricket fan. But, you know, 6 or 7 months ago, it was very different when they were getting beaten all the time. I'm a Fulham fan. I support Fulham Football Club. It's been a season of great joy for us. We've been promoted. We've had one of the best seasons ever. We're going to be in the Premier League. I suspect my level of joy with Fulham is going to go down quite rapidly when the new season starts and we're playing in the Premier League and we start to lose our games. So joy is an interesting thing. The thing we find joy in is an interesting thing, isn't it? That often if we put it in people, in sports, in things we enjoy doing, it can go up and down. If joy is rooted in our circumstances and in other people, our joy level almost can go up and down. So what is joy really? What is it? Especially for us as Christians. What is joy? I find this definition very helpful. That joy is a deep sense of comfort and delight found not in our circumstances, but in who God is and what he has done. Can you see the difference already in that definition for us as believers, as Christians, as opposed to kind of the general sense of what joy is in our world? For us as Christians, joy isn't found in our circumstances, in what's going on around us, whether our sports team's winning or not, whether our relationships are going well, whether we've got a lot of money in our bank account or not, whether we're going on a nice holiday or not. For us as believers, as Christians, put our trust in God. Joy is found in who God is and what he has done. And you know, the Bible tells us that God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's unchanging. And if our joy is found in who he is and what he has done, then our joy can be constant. And it's not necessarily this feeling of kind of lots of smiles and laughter and happiness all the time. For us, biblical joy, joy that's found in God, is this deep sense of comfort, this deep sense of delight. That means actually, and we'll unpack this together now, it means that we can experience joy even perhaps when our world is seemingly falling apart around us. That joy and lament can coexist at the same time. It's an incredible thing for us as Christians. Now we find this in the Bible, this sense that joy and God being the source of our joy is right there all the way through the scriptures. In Nehemiah chapter 8, you'll know there's this story of the Israelites going back, and Nehemiah leads a group of Israelites back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls that have been destroyed. And they spend a long time rebuilding, weeks rebuilding the walls together. And at the end of rebuilding the walls, Nehemiah asks Ezra, who's a priest, to read the law, God's law, to the people. They have a moment where they worship him and listen to who God is. And as the people gather and they hear God's law being read to them, they start to mourn, they start to weep, because they realise they've not kept God's law. They've not been the sort of people that they should have been. They've not been faithful to God. And in that moment, Nehemiah says to them something quite profound. He says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now what's Nehemiah saying to them? He's saying to them, listen, don't grieve about the circumstances. Don't grieve about how you've lived your life. Listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, they know that they've not lived perfect lives. They know that they've got loads wrong. They know that they've sinned. But listen, Nehemiah's reminded them that they are still God's people. That they're still his sons. They're still his daughters. That God still loves them. That they're still special to him. And that God finds joy in them. That he's the source of their joy. No matter what's going on around them, what's been happening, God is their joy. The joy of the Lord is their strength. Now, and this theme runs all the way through the Bible, into the New Testament. In Luke 15, Jesus tells three stories quite quickly about some items or some things that are lost and found. He tells a story about a sheep being lost and the shepherd going to look for that sheep. He talks about a coin being lost and then being found. He talks about a son being lost and then being found. And each time the sheep and the coin and the son are found, it's accompanied with serious joy. There's parties, there's celebration, there's kind of over-the-top joy that these things have been found. And yet the message in those stories is clear. That we're the thing that has been lost. That God has come and found us. That we've been reunited. We've been reconnected with him. We're the sheep. We're the coin. We're the son. And God has found us. And that he finds serious joy in us. He gets joyful. He gets exuberant over us. And the fact that he's found us, that we've reconnected with him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you understand this? That God finds joy in you. God finds joy in you and in me. And so our joy is found and comes from the knowledge that God has already found joy in us. He's the source of our joy. The fact that he has first found joy in us, even though we blow it, even though we get things wrong, like the people in the book of Nehemiah, even though we lose our way sometimes, and we maybe wander away from him, God finds joy in you and me. Now this is confirmed in Psalm 100 that we're reading. As we move on in the psalm, you know, it starts with that emphasis on shout for joy to the Lord. And then it says this, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Our joy is found in God, and it comes from knowing who he is, that the Lord is God, and that he finds joy in us. Our joy comes from knowing that we are his, that there is forgiveness, that there is grace when we know who God is, that we are his people. There are his sons, we're his daughters. Our joy comes from the fact that he's, and the picture here is of him as a shepherd and us as his sheep, that he provides for us, that he looks after us, that he protects us. He is the source of our joy. He finds joy in you and me. This is a beautiful place to be in. This is a beautiful state for us as believers, as Christians, to live in and to walk our lives in. Because it means that our joy and our emotion doesn't have to go up and down all the time when our team wins or not. When we've got a job that we enjoy. When our relationships are going well, when we can pay our bills, when we've got money in the bank. You know, if that's the source of our joy, we're in for a rocky ride, aren't we? Because it'll go up and down as life goes up and down. But if the source of our joy is God, who is unchanging, who finds joy in us first, then our joy can be constant, knowing that the Lord is God. It's not swayed or influenced by our circumstances. It's found in our unchanging God. That means we can worship God at all times with joy. Doesn't mean we always have a smile on our face, perhaps, but deep down we can worship him with joy, whatever our circumstances. Oh, it's fascinating when we read through the Bible, we just read time and time again of this idea that joy and lament and sometimes sorrow and pain can go hand in hand. That we don't have to choose between them. That actually joy and lament can coexist. We can know them both at the same time. So it's a big idea. Let me explain it to you a little bit as we look through our Bibles together. You know, the Psalms are Israel's worship book, and they're a great place to see this happening. You know, in Psalm 5, David, whose life was under pressure so much, whose life was in danger so much. You know, the start of Psalm 5, if you look at it, he talks about lament. He talks about tears and heartbreak and pain. That's the state that he's in. But as we get about halfway through Psalm 5 in verse 11, David says this, let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Now David's, it's incredible, he's experiencing lament and fear and threat upon his life. And he expresses all that, but at the same time he says, but I'm going to find joy in God. You're my refuge. You're my protection. His joy isn't found in his circumstances, but it's found in who God is. His lament and joy coexist. Later on in Psalm 21, when he's being chased by his enemies, and again his life is under threat, he says, the king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give. Life under threat feels like people are against him, but still finding joy in
God.
Psalm 30, when David knows that he's messed up, where he knows that he needs God's forgiveness and grace, and he's feeling pretty bad about himself, he's able to say this: but God's anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. This is a man who's messed up, who's sinned, who's blown it, who's got it wrong, but is still going to rejoice in who God is. And into the New Testament as well, we find these famous words in Philippians 4 that show us that joy and rejoicing can coexist with anxiety and worry. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Anxiety, worry and fear can be there as part of our lives, and they can be very real emotions that we feel. But we can still rejoice. We can still be people who worship with joy. Our joy in God can coexist with the entirety, with the fullness of our lives. Whatever our circumstances we're facing, we can worship God with joy because he is the source of our joy. Now, life changes. Life can be like a roller coaster. It can go up and down and back and forwards. If our joy is found in our circumstances, in the people around us, then our life will go up and down. But joy in God can coexist with the entirety of our lives. Now, you might be saying, well, that's easy for you to say, Mark. You know, that even when life is kind of full of difficult things, that we can find joy. But you don't know what I'm going through, Mark. You might be saying, you know, I'm going through pain and guilt and heartache and financial pressures and other things. You know, it's so hard for me to find joy in those situations. And I'm not saying that we ignore all that. I'm not saying that we forget how difficult life can be, because it can be. You know, the one thing we know is the Bible's very real about how life can be hard, it can be difficult. I'm not saying ignore those emotions. But listen to what I am saying. That it's possible to experience all that tough stuff and to acknowledge it and to lament and to cry. But at the same time, it's possible to know a joy in God as well. It's what we call it. It's a paradox, isn't it? It's two seemingly contradictory statements that, although they contradict, they can come together and they can both be true at the same time. My reading of the Bible, I think, shows me that there is a paradox here that can exist. That I can cry and lament, but I can also know a deep joy in who God is as well and what he's done for me. And I think some of the best examples of this are from our brothers and sisters who are persecuted around the world. A few weeks ago, if you remember, we had Dan Galber and Naomi from Open Doors who spent some time sharing with us about the persecuted church. And if you remember, some of those stories about our brothers and sisters being put under extreme pain and extreme pressure, but they were still finding that they could worship God within that. And one of the stories that struck a chord with me, I don't know if Dan actually shared this over the weekend, but that I've read in the past, is about a lady called Helen who lives in Eritrea. That isn't her on the screen, but that's a lady from Eritrea. And as it says there on the screen, believers in Eritrea continue to suffer extreme persecution. It's ranked 6th on the world watch list, making it one of the hardest places in the world to follow Jesus. Yeah, if you're a Christian in Eritrea, it is difficult. And Helen's story is this as a Christian. She says, Helen spent 2.5 years locked inside a metal shipping container, all for refusing to recant her Christian faith. Every day for over 2 years, she woke up on the floor of a metal jagged shipping container where she would be beaten and tortured regularly. It was so cold at night, she got hypothermia, and so hot in the day that her skin would burn on the edges of the metal container. Helen began to write notes to her fellow prisoners. These notes would contain encouragements and Bible passages that she had memorized. Guards caught her and hauled her to be interrogated. "Where is your Bible?" they asked. She responded, "I don't have one. It's in my head." "Well, we will beat it out of you," came the reply. Helen was dragged to the centre of a courtyard area and beaten with wooden batons in the middle of this intense beating. She looked up at one beating her and said, "I do not hate you, for you are just carrying out an order. And you need to understand I am following orders too, not to renounce Jesus, my Saviour. So carry on." When they had finished beating her, they threw her body back into the container, and she lay on the floor of the container. She began to thank God. "Thank you for the cold nights, the hot days." Her heart was thankful to God, who, despite the circumstance, was faithful. The joy of the Lord is her strength. Oh, I find that just incredibly powerful for lots of reasons. I find it incredibly moving. So many of our brothers and sisters live lives that way just because they choose to follow Jesus. I find it incredibly powerful because I think it shows me that pain and lament and sadness can coexist with joy in God. When he's the source of our joy, it means that we can even face some really difficult stuff and still know joy, still know thankfulness in our hearts. You see, it shows me that worshipping with joy, worshipping God with joy, isn't a feeling that we have to build up from and work up from inside of ourselves. You see, it shows me that we can worship with joy because we can look outside of ourselves. That it's not a feeling we work up, say, "I must be joyful in God." But it's through looking outside of ourselves at who God is, whatever our circumstances around us, and seeing that the source of our joy is in who God is and what he has done, that we can worship with joy. It is he who made us, and we are his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Joy, worshipping with joy, coexists with the entirety of our lives when we look outside of ourselves to the one who's the source of our joy. Now the final couple of verses in Psalm 100 paint a picture of what worshipping with joy actually looks like. What does it look like when we work this out in practice? Let's read those last couple of verses together. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Now, I think there's three quick pointers here as to what worshipping with joy looks like. And the first one is this, is that it looks like thankfulness. It's there, isn't it? Right at the start of verse 4. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." You know, coming to God with thankful hearts and mouths, remembering his goodness to us. That's what joyful worship looks like. Knowing that he's our good shepherd, that he's provided everything that we need. If we want to worship God with joy, it means that thankfulness plays a big part in that. It means when we're in our prayers, thanking God for who he is, specifically for what he's done for us that day, what he's doing in our lives in that moment. You know, I think Helen in Eritrea thanked him even for the hot container and the cold nights. It means finding things that we can thank God for. When we come together as church, it means calling out thankfulness, praying out loud. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you. And being spontaneous in this. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my work. Thank you for my home. Thank you that although I don't have perhaps as much money as I would like, thank you that I've paid my bills. Being rooted in joyful worship looks like thankfulness. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Joyful worship must be interspersed with moments of thankfulness. Maybe sometimes joyful worship and being thankful looks like responding to what God's given us by giving back to him. Giving to other people who are in need. Giving to places that need us to give to them. Sharing what God has given with us. Because we want other people to be thankful as well. Loaning out some of our belongings. Sharing them with people. That's what thankfulness looks like. It's what joyful worship looks like. Second thing, it sounds like, it doesn't look like, it sounds like singing. Enter his courts with praise and praise his name. So much of worshipping with joy looks and sounds like and involves singing. This is why, you know, when we come together as God's people, we sing. It's not because we can't think of anything better to do or because we can't think of another way to worship. It's because the Bible is full of moments where God's people come together and sing. It does something in us. It stirs us. It leads us towards joy. You know, we might, sometimes when our circumstances in life are difficult and hard, we might choose to stay away from church. It's one of the worst things we can do. But we might do that. Maybe you've been in that position where you think, I just can't face going to church. Can't face being with loads of other people because of what's going on in my life. But when our source of joy is in God and when we're intent on still coming together to worship him, there's something about singing together that can actually lead us towards joy. It can lead us towards the truth of who God is. Because so many of our songs, all of our songs in fact, point towards who God is and what he has done. And as soon as that happens, we start looking from, we look outside of ourselves and our own circumstances and we look to God. And we realise that's where my joy is. Singing is so important for that. I love what his church leader and theologian Reggie Kidd says about singing. He says, singing is a language that allows us to embody our love for our Creator. Song is a means he has given us to communicate our deepest affections, to have our thoughts exquisitely shaped, and to have our spirits braved for the boldest of obedience. Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, His description of what singing is, songs are a gift that God has given us. And why? Because he knows that they move our deepest affections. So songs stir something in our emotions. That songs and worship songs can exquisitely shape our thoughts and what we believe in our heads. And that also these songs have a way of shaping and braving our spirits to follow God. Can you see what worship and singing with joy does there? It affects our emotions, our thoughts and our spirits. Every part of who we are is caught up when we sing worship songs together. It's so important that we don't give up meeting together, that we come together and we worship with joy. And even the picture here in Psalm 100 is just stirring, isn't it? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The fact is we're going through gates and we're going into courts means we're going into the presence of the king. And that stirs us to joy as well, doesn't it? Yeah, if we really were imagining as we come together to worship and to sing, if we really imagine that we were coming into the presence of the King, that we were coming into through his gates and into his magnificent courts, then we would be joyful, we would be singing, we would be praising. We wouldn't be standing there with our hands in our pockets or our arms folded. We would be exuberant. We would make a joyful noise as we worship the King. Shout for joy. We wouldn't mumble our way through our songs. We would shout for joy. Make a loud noise. Joyful worship looks like thankfulness. It sounds like singing. And it looks like blessing God as well. You know, there in the middle of those verses, it says, give thanks to him, praise his name. Or in some versions, it says, bless his name. Joyful worship looks like blessing God, talking well about him, giving testimony about what he's done. That's why it's great when we're together as church to have stories, to have testimonies where we bless God, where we point towards what he has done. It looks like thankfulness. It sounds like praise and singing. It looks like blessing God. What do all these three things have in common? They're all about God. They're all about God. Worship that's rooted in joy is completely centered on God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not about me. If we want to worship with joy, it all needs to be about God. Not my own likes and preferences, whether the songs are the ones I like, whether the musicians are playing in the way that I want them to play, whether the volume's loud enough or quiet enough. That's not going to lead to joyful worship. But joyful worship comes where it says, I'm intent on worshipping God, who is the source of my joy. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Do you get the idea? It's not about us. If we make worship about us, it's not joyful. It becomes cynical. It becomes critical. When we make worship all about him, it's a joyful noise which brings us back to the start, doesn't it? Shout for joy to the Lord. It's all about him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the source of our joy. He is the source of our joy. And that's where joyful worship comes from, where it's all about him. Let's pray together. And Father God, we thank you for this psalm that shows us in very clearly that you are the source of our joy. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that that's the case, that my joy doesn't have to be found in my circumstances, in what's going on around me. Thank you that my joy is found in you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And Father, thank you for this profound truth as well, that my joy can coexist with my sadness and my pain and my lament as well. Help us to know the truth of that, Holy Spirit. To be inspired by women like Helen in Eritrea, who despite her circumstances found joy and finds joy in you. Father, would that be our story? I pray for any of my brothers and sisters watching this now who perhaps are going through some really difficult, dark and painful moments. Father, would they know you as the source of their joy? Would they know the joy of the Lord is their strength? And Father, help us to be those who worship you with thankfulness, who sing and praise you loudly and exuberantly, and who bless you as well. We choose to be those who worship with joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.